3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll, that is Austin, Texas, I am Chris Jordan, your host. And today on the Talking Sound podcast, we're going to have a technical episode. We've had a few requests for those. We've had quite a few comments on the couple that we've had about maintaining gear, cleaning gear, things like that. What we're going to talk about today, I get asked frequently whenever I work corporate events, what the heck is that little thing that you're plugging into my computer? So many people see just a standard 1/8 inch to RCA connection, and though that is a, you know, it's valid, it works, it gets signal from point A to point B. Not always the best solution, especially for a powered amplified device like a laptop or a tablet. So today we are going to talk specifically about interfacing external devices with your soundboard, specifically for use on stage and for live applications. You can use the same process for the studio. It's the same process that I use personally as far as connecting regular digital devices, cell phones, laptops, tablets, little 1/8 inch synth devices, things like that. There are quite a few of them out nowadays, like the little ribbon synthesizers, stuff like that. So anything that you're trying to take out from an 1/8 inch, if you've ever noticed that there's a slight buzz, a little bit of hum, we're going to explain some of that. We're going to explain where that comes from, what causes that, as well as how to stop it. So let's break it down a little bit. Let's hop over here, take a look. Here's our friendly soundboard once again, and if you remember, right here we've got the channel inputs. We've got an XLR input, which is our preferred, mainly due to the fact that that is typically a balanced line. And we're actually, we've got a little fly friend here in the studio. That's funny. But the balanced line is nice because it actually provides a positive and a negative signal as well as a shield. Now the shielding is your ground. So the plus side here, here's a good example right here. Here's two identical cable. Well, not fully identical. One's 90 degree. One is standard 1/4 inch. But you can see right here where one of them looks kind of like a standard headphone jack, where it is tip, ring, and sleeve. And here you just have tip sleeve. These will normally be abbreviated as TRS or TS. They're also referred to as balanced, which is the tip ring sleeve, or unbalanced, which is your standard 1/4 inch tip sleeve. Now, this is like what you use for guitar pedals, guitar cables, things like that, which is why you end up with a lot of buzz coming off of them. So this extra little part here, that ring, is what gives you the negative signal from your source and basically completes the ground loop and stops any buzz from happening. Now, you may say, hey, that looks just like my headphone jack. That looks exactly like it. The only problem is it does, but note, this is only one cable. If your headphones were fully balanced, there would be five, not three. There would be a ring for each one of those as well as the tip for the ground. So we're going to get into that. Now, see, here's an XLR cable, and you can see on the XLR, it's going to have tip ring sleeve on there, or positive negative ground. Now, an unbalanced XLR, which does exist, and it's mainly whenever you're going from a 1/4 inch input like this, a standard guitar cable, to an XLR, and that would be unbalanced. So you could still, in that scenario, have buzz or hum coming off your line. So once again, your preferred input is always going to be a balanced XLR in. It's going to have the best shielding as far as shielding against RF. That's what the woven cable around the two cables inside of it are for, is to protect from RF signal, protect from external interference from high-gain devices or amplifiers, even If you're in a bar scenario, you know, or in a hotel scenario, rheostats, you know, faders for lights, dimmer packs tend to make a hum as well. That's that dreaded 60 cycle that you tend to hear. Now, once again, here's our channel strip. And our channel strip is going to come in, come down to the equalizer, go to the auxiliary send from auxiliary to pan left right, and then to the level, which goes to our output. Now, our job here is to get this device from here, right here on our tablet, running one of my favorite programs. I love this little program. It's actually called Plasma Sound, and it's a great little touch synth. We'll get to hear it a little bit better here in a second. So this cable right here, our balanced XLR that I have in my hand, is actually going to be going directly to our soundboard. So let's remove this and our little sample board, and we'll let the big boy do the work over there. And what we're going to do is pop out a few of what are called direct boxes. Now, the job of a direct box is literally, or DI box, direct injection. The idea here is to change the impedance level closer to microphone level. Now, once again, here's the typical connection cable that most people have and use. I see them all the time with DJs. I see execs bring them. They're perfectly valid. Like I said, it gets your cable from point A to point B. The only issue that you may have is, how the heck are you going to plug this thing into an audio snake on a stage? How are you going to turn that around? Now remember, every time you could say, oh, well, you know, let's just grab some quarter inch adapters and we could go, you know, quarter inch in, you know, from RCA. Well, the problem with that is that whenever you use adapters, you start getting dB loss. Every time you connect one connector to another, you're going to have a small amount of dB loss. dB being decibels, the amount of sound coming out of that device. On top of that, you've also added a point of error. You've added a point of connection where at that point of connection, it's now like a weak link in a chain. And that's one more spot where you can get crackle, buzz, hum, all kinds of different noise and interference. If there's any kind of corrosion on the inside of that where the tip connects, anything like that. So, you know, adapters typically, I mean, they're patchwork, they work, it's perfectly fine, but, you know, it's not really the preferred method. The preferred method is a DI box. And what a DI box does, this is one version by Proco, it's an AV1A, and this AV1A here has a lot of inputs. You can see it's got eighth inch, it's got quarter inch, and both of those will operate in either mono or stereo. It's also got RCA inputs, so you can connect your RCA ends right there. And then right here, if you notice, mic level output, bam. You can connect it right in, connect your sound device, and voila, you've got sound coming in from your device. And if you notice here, there's a pad in out, so if things are coming in a little bit too hot, you can drop that signal by, I believe this pad here is a negative 10 dB pad. And then on top of that, there's also your best friend in the world whenever dealing with amplified devices, a ground lift. This ground lift is basically going to allow you to selectively take this thing in and out of the ground loop, which will immediately kill that buzz or hum that you're hearing from the device. So you can hear there it is with the lift on, and there it is with the lift off, but this is a pretty quiet device. Another type of DI box that we have over here is a very, very popular one. It's actually a Proco, or not Proco, it's a Pro AV1. This is actually by Radial. Radial DI makes these. And this is a great one. It's got a fantastic negative 15 dB pad, a lot of the same ins and outs. You'll notice this, though, has throughs. So you can actually continue this signal back to, like, the home mixer, you know, for a DJ or anything like that, if they need some sort of return to their monitor or something like that, back to their mixer. And it operates the exact same way. You plug your input in, plug in your output. It's got a ground lift there as well. You can also plug in an XLR line in. Now, that's handy, especially whenever you're dealing with powered speakers. I've actually used these frequently in line with powered speakers from your Snake to actually lift the ground in hotels and places that have a little bit, we call it dirty power. It's actually power that, you know, has been married with other stuff and has faders on it, fluorescent lights, all kinds of things that are just nasty when it comes to audio signal. So you can see there that does the exact same thing, and it's fantastic that, you know, these boxes run. This one, if I'm not mistaken, is a little bit more expensive. It's a little bit more on the pro end. It's right up around $150, depending on where you get it, Sweetwater or anywhere like that. You can find them at most guitar centers locally. Just about anywhere can get a hold of a radial DI box. Now, a more common one that you might find would be the LiveWires. LiveWire has the same thing, and you'll notice, though, this one has a ground lift and only quarter inch in and out. So on that end, we wouldn't be able to use this cable. Another solution, like I said, would be the eighth inch to quarter inch cable. And that is really the preferred solution whenever dealing with this, mainly because, once again, the fewer connections you have, the cleaner signal you're going to get. So once again, it's literally as easy as plug in your DI box, plug in your source, and then you can play. And, you know, it's nice and easy. It's great. It's a very easy way to clean up audio. Not only that, you'll be surprised as soon as you walk in and have one of these in your rig, like, you will be the sound guy's best friend. Like, their attitude about you changes 110%. Now, a lot of the times, you know, if you wanted to, you could even go with the wireless option on this end. You know, you could use, like, the Radial Pro DI and bring your wireless in, and you could lift the ground from your wireless system into the house system and be able to have this wirelessly. In my band Shakuhachi Jones, we actually use these exact receivers to do just that from a wrist mounted iPhone for a lot of synth sounds, stuff like that. So really makes it impactful. But for those of you who like to use wireless, that's a very easy way to kill a lot of the buzz and hum in your wireless, is to pop a DI in line between the receiver and the source input on the soundboard. Now, here's another tiny version of this exact same box. This is by Rolls, actually. This is a DB256. And, you know, I was always a big fan, or 25B, rather, I'm sorry. And I was always a big fan of Rolls because their stuff came in a small package, and for the price, really offered some great quality. And this one's interesting because it's actually got a volume attenuator on it, so I can actually fade things up and down. So if somebody's writing something a little bit too much, I can bring it down, you know, and make sure that the sound from the iPad or the tablet or the PC, the laptop from the DJ, whatever, is really, really controlled. You know, that way they can put out as much sound as they want, and you can really trim it in there at house. Now, my personal favorite solution for all of these, is this right here. And boy, howdy, is it a handful. It is the LTI GL Blocks laptop interface. And they're by Rapco Horizon, and they are great. They're fantastic. Every time I pull it out at a show, I literally have everybody stop and ask me, like, what is that little thing? And actually, if you do any AV work or anything like that, they're frequently referred to as gizmos, because that's what people ask. What the heck is that gizmo? And it's great. It is a little miniature version of these exact same things, with a ground lift and a volume pot on it. So you can do the exact same thing. It's got a nice long cable on it so you can hide it away. You know, the exec can sit there and run their own volume. If they think it needs a little bit more gas, they can do what they want. But I love these because these will actually mount onto a microphone stand. So, like, I have tablet arms that attach to mic stands, so I can attach this right there and have full control over the ground lift and everything else for the sound guy off of my tablet. And they're great solutions to a very, very common issue. And the more that we get into these digital devices, the more that we start seeing them live, the more that we start seeing things like tablets and other functional personal electronic devices making music. I mean, I've even used Nintendo DSs to make music. There are little programs for them by Korg and stuff, little games that you can actually get that let you sync them together and you can sit there and like battle with synthesizers on them. It's great. It's fun. And it's super awesome on stage. And it really opens a whole new plethora of possibilities as far as what you can do and how you can do it. And the great thing about this stuff is I've been advising people, like, I have some sampler programs that lay out just like the Roland sample pads and stuff. Like, you can use a tablet for all of that, and as big as the tablet is, like, you can trigger 13, 20 minute long samples because it's just considering it a WAV file. It doesn't know any different, and it's fantastic. It's a great way to be able to trigger stuff live on stage. They're fantastic solutions to the issues that us electronic musicians have had with gear for a long time. So the DI box is your friend. If you don't own one, I highly recommend looking into them. Myself, I actually use a tube DI box. You can get them in tube format as well if you're an analog fan. I didn't bring one with me. I should have. I have one on my personal guitar board, and I should have brought it with me. PreSonus makes a great one that's very common. ART makes a great one. These can be bought for right up around $100, $150 for expensive ones. And you can plug microphones into them, warm up your sound. You can also use them for guitar, bass, that kind of stuff. Personally, as an electronic musician, I don't really use a whole lot of amplifier necessarily for my guitar sound. So most of my guitar sound is processed. It's coming off of pedals that I've modded, things like that. So for me, I literally carry a pedal board with a tube DI box, and that gives me a little bit of tube gain. It gives me a little bit of warmth, a little bit of kick to the signal, and really warms things up and gives it a huge sound on the back end. And, you know, at the same time, what, like I said, you're the sound guy's best friend because you're like, all I need is an XLR. And here's my guitar send. You know, there's no feedback from monitor microphones on amplifiers or anything like that. There's no opportunity for feedback necessarily unless you're taking that off the sound system or creating that artificially. Now, if you're a feedback fan and that's what you're doing, of course, an amplifier is necessary. So there are caveats on both ends. You know, it's really kind of six of one, half a dozen of the other, especially whenever it comes to effects. It's one of those, you know, how much pepper do you like in your gumbo as far as effects go? So I love the fact that DI boxes can really clean up your sound for those of us who use a lot of external devices to trigger things, chaos pads, things like that. They're great. They're fantastic tools. They're great tools. The only problem is the only outputs on them are unbalanced. So they're really considered, you know, more prosumer gear, high-end consumer DJ gear, which, although gives you some great options, doesn't always provide the best sound quality and can really, really interfere with the show sometimes whenever you have nasty buzzes and hums that you can't get rid of and that you end up sampling and stuff like that. So really, a DI box is your best friend. Take a look at some of the options that we showed you tonight, from radial all the way to, you know, the Rapco, all kinds of different manufacturers. So on that note, everybody, while you're online looking that stuff up, please, please stop on by the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. That is where you can find all of these technical episodes. Right now, we've got about four of them. We're working on getting some more posted. We also have some great interviews with local artists, artists from Houston, the surrounding areas. We're trying to get a few people from abroad, across the United States, on with us via Skype. We just did our first Skype episode recently with the Art Institute of Houston. That was fantastic and well attended by the AES students. Hi to all you kids that are listening out there, you future audio engineers, you. And also, please stop by the Patreon page, www.patreon.com/talkingsoundshow. There you can find the fundraisers from, you know, the cost to keep the website up and pay for the additional hosting for, you know, pro accounts for SoundCloud and the like, as well as, you know, if you like what we're doing and you'd like to donate to the gear cause to make sure that we can keep up and keep abreast of all the newest things. There's donation packages for that as well. You can choose the amount. You can choose the regularity. You are in control as the patron on Patreon. So thank you very much for those of you who have already done so and for those of you who are planning on it. Once again, everybody, I am Christopher Jordan, your host, and this has been a great episode. I look forward to our next technical one. Coming up soon, we'll also be having some great in-studio guests, so stay tuned for that. Until next time, everyone, keep reaching for 11, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Down.